On the inside of my wedding band, the inscription reads, "Spirits shine in the dark." And Diane's inscription reads, "Branching streams merge in light." The inscriptions are clearly a re-expression of the lines in the Merging and Difference and Unity poem that we just chanted. The life path that this poem points to is one we choose to walk together. Of course, it doesn't mean that the bulk of our actions arise from an enlightened viewpoint or anything like that. But it does provide some common aspiration that we can return to for the benefit of others. Sometimes we still drive each other crazy. One of the quirks that Diane has, which annoys me routinely, is that when she loads the dishwasher, she often fails to put the silverware in alphabetical order. Can you imagine that? This is the fourth Dharma talk on the poem in the chant books, titled The Merging of Difference and Unity, widely known as the Sando Kai, or Kantong Chi in Chinese, as it was originally written in the 8th century by Shi Tao Chi Tien. I don't typically write my talks out word for word, but I woke up one morning and this is what poured out. So I wrote it down for you. The Heart Sutra, the Diamond Sutra, the Merging of Difference and Unity, even the Pali Canon, are a teaching about two incompatible truths. These are two ways of viewing the world. Both are accurate, and each of them makes the other impossible. In the terms of Western modern philosophy, such as that of Immanuel Kant, one of these perspectives is the phenomenal, and the other is the noumenal. Phenomenal is relative truth to our sense of self. Noumenal is absolute truth, independent of us. Phenomenal is the world of experience, and noumenal is the view which is not shaped by the process of experience. Phenomenal is the world of sofas and car transmissions and indignation and itchy noses and Dharma talks. Noumenal is the world in which each of those boundlessly fully includes the others. As Edie clearly laid out for us a couple of weeks ago, Zen teaching typically represents the differentiation of objects with light and our penetration of that differentiation to absolute truth as darkness. The phenomenal perspective of distinctions is true. How can we deny that in order to eat, we need to move the fork to our lips, or maybe the chopsticks? The noumenal perspective is true. If you study the Buddhist epistemology, the Buddhist philosophy, the conclusion that all things are empty of separate nature is unavoidable. The three marks of reality are impermanence, dissatisfaction, and non-self. An intense study of permanence or causality alone necessarily leads to the conclusion that the boundaries within reality are only those we draw. Liberation in suffering, freedom in stress, comes from understanding these two perspectives and being okay with the paradox that they cannot be simultaneously true. And yet they are. There are many teachings about letting go of understanding. This is necessary because the merging of the phenomenal world is not subject to understanding. With practice, we can experience the harmony of difference and unity, of light and dark. And yet the teaching says, hearing the words, understand the meaning. Understanding is necessary. We have to study the teachings to experience harmony. We have to follow the logical path that concludes with all aggregates being empty in their own being. Many people study this teaching, figure it out, and think that is enlightenment. So there is an understanding of the noumenal perspective, but we are still living in the phenomenal world. They still have to get the fork to their mouth. The next step is learning to live peacefully with the two truths every moment. That includes learning to live peacefully with our anger, hurt, fear, and disappointment, as well as learning to live peacefully with our excitement, joy, and success. The koans are not paradoxes trying to trick us. They are trying to show us the paradox of our reality and how that paradox is okay and even beautiful. After understanding noumenal, we have to let it go. Being able to let go is critical because all that arises passes away an instant later. This, too, shall pass. And letting go is so difficult. So we practice in meditation. Don't set up standards of your own, as if we could. But trying to brings about suffering. Our practice is thousands of years old. It contains thousands of years of refinements and wisdom. That's not to say that change doesn't happen in Buddhism. It does, slowly and together. Shogaku Shunryu Suzuki Roshi cautions also against taking this advice to bind to one particular school or teacher or set of rules. That any time we latch onto a particular rule, we are setting up standards of our own. Zen teachings are often likened to a finger pointing at the moon. They are trying to nudge us on a path that leads to awakening. But they can't put us there directly. Suzuki Roshi says, if three different teachers are pointing at the moon, there are three different fingers. Which one is right? Alan Watts observes that our tendency with religion is to see the finger pointing at the moon and then to suck on the finger for comfort rather than following where it points. If you don't understand the way right before you, how will you know the path as you walk? There's that word, understand, again. Let's step back a second. How could you understand the way right before you if you don't even see the way right before you? How much time do we spend not noticing what's right before us? That's why we have to sit and try to notice the path right before us. And then the mind slides elsewhere, and so we come back again and again. That is the path. The next line is critical. Progress is not a matter of far or near, but if you are confused, mountains and rivers block your way. Do you understand? Progress is not a matter of far or near, but if you are confused, mountains and rivers block your way. Whenever we find phenomena to be barriers, we have lost track of what is truly important. Mountains, rivers, bosses, children, illness, rivals, mistakes. Where are we trying to get to, anyways? Buddha teaches that we are already enlightened, but we get confused and don't see clearly. I can't pass up the mention of mountains and rivers without turning to Ehe Dogen and the Mountains and Rivers Sutra. Dogen wrote, "Because green mountains walk, they are permanent. Although they walk more swiftly than the wind, someone in the mountains does not realize or understand it. In the mountains means the blossoming of the entire world. People outside the mountains do not realize or understand the mountains walking. Those without eyes to see mountains cannot realize, understand, see, or hear this as it is. If you doubt mountains walking, you do not know your own walking. It is not that you do not walk, but that you do not know or understand your own walking. Since you do not know your walking, you should fully know the green mountains walking. Green mountains are neither sentient nor insentient. You are neither sentient nor insentient. At this moment, you cannot doubt green mountains walking." The merging of difference in unity ends. "I respectfully urge you who study the mystery, do not pass your days and nights in vain." Suzuki Roshi shares the literal translation. "Do not expend your sunbeams and shadows in vain." Whether our actions are in vain does not matter so much as whether our actions are in vain does not matter so much what we are doing or why we are doing it. If our sunbeams and shadows pass by without our noticing, then whatever we have done has been in vain. Notice the sunbeams, notice the shadows. Yet, also, when we are blind to them, still now, in the searing light of examination and discrimination, the streams of our lives come together. Here, now, in the deepest darkness, the heart of absolute truth, our spirits shine with impossibly penetrating radiance.